Welcome to Legacy Fundraising Chat, where I talk about everything legacy related to help you as a fundraiser generate more interest amongst your supporters in legacy giving. I'm your host, Sunita Gudu, founder of Persuasion and a legacy marketer, providing consultancy training, coaching and interim support to charities of all sizes. Have you thought about calling your supporters to talk about legacies? If we've connected, whether virtually or in person, you'll know this is an area that I'm hugely passionate about. That's why my first guest on this podcast is Ben Suffell from QTS Telemarketing Agency. Ben is a leading expert when it comes to the telephone. And so we really are going to be learning from the best. Here's my legacy chat with Ben Suffell. Ben, welcome to the show. And thank you for being the first guest on the podcast.
Thanks. It's great to be here. Very exciting.
So Ben, we first started working together back, what, nearly 10 years ago? When you were calling donors to talk about legacies, when it was really rare back then. And I know that the charity that I was working for at the time was really did have their reservations. But instinctively, it felt like such a sensitive and important decision in the supporter's journey that we really took the time to talk to them about it. It was really great to connect with you back then and hear how you and your team were already addressing some of the concerns that charities and their donors were going to have about something that I expect our listener wants to hear more about today. So Ben, can you tell us what makes QTS unique as a telephone agency?
Well, what makes us unique is that I suppose where we stand out from the rest is the fact that we have always had work from home telephone fundraisers. So I think even though that's nothing special right now, before it was quite unique. And the reason why it's quite unique is because if you go with the work from home model, which we have done, we've been around for like 20 plus years, we've always had work from home callers. But if you go for that model, you generally end up employing a kind of a different sort of person, because they're not necessarily the kind of person that goes into a call center. They're more fitted. And we've just found that those characters, those personalities, fit really well with talking to supporters and donors.
That's great. And your team seem really different as well than any other agency that I've worked with in this way. And what is it that you look for in a team member to create that difference?
The key to having a good conversation with a supporter or a donor is really the ability to have empathy. And the only way you can create empathy, in my view, is if you have life experience. If you want to feel and understand something a supporter's saying, then you've got to have been through things yourself in your own life. And I think that's the thread that holds all of my team together. They're all very different kind of personalities, people, backgrounds. But the one thing that they all share in common is that they all have a lot of life experience. And I think that just allows them to create a really good level of rapport and have meaningful conversations with supporters. And that's what we really look for.
It's interesting that you talk about life experience, because obviously this is a legacy fundraising podcast. So how does that translate in terms of legacy?
I think it's quite critically important. I would say that with our team, it would be more peer-to-peer fundraising as well. So they're able to have those conversations with donors. They're able to have them on a level. And because they are more mature, they can just have those conversations. And I think it just feels right to the supporter and where they're at. So that makes it, that definitely has a big impact for sure.
And I can definitely echo that. Having listened to so many of your callers, having those great calls and conversations about everything and anything. So while I definitely understand about what you're saying about life experience. Now, we've worked on a lot of legacy campaigns since 2012, and we've seen some exceptional results. We've seen conversions of, what, 25% with legacy inquirers and something around 1% of legacy pledges, which is really unheard of for any other form of channel. Is that typical, or is that just because you and I just work really well together?
because you and I work really well together. All the rest of them are rubbish. No, I think it's like, it is really quite typical. And going back to kind of what the whole point of this campaign, like strip out the jargon and all the terminology and all that kind of stuff. The point of this campaign is to phone people and have a really good chat with them. Find out where they're at, find out why they supported that charity, find out what created that engagement, and then just to see if they might, where they're at on their legacy journey, have, like, this is like one of the key campaigns that I think we've done together, just to sort of touch on that point if they want to. If they want to discuss it, then you go there. And I think that is the art of this campaign, is there is no result. The only result is to just, for everybody to go away thinking, oh, that was a nice call. That was a nice conversation I've just had with that person. And I think it just does lead to, people want to support the causes that they care about, and they might not be able to give as much as they want right now. They might want to help in other ways. And I think this is an opportunity and and also like a learning for them about, one, how important it is for charity to receive legacy donations, and how, if you look at the sector as a whole, how big that is now from an income perspective. And also, too, there is a double-edged sword to this, in the fact that lots of people don't have wills and they want to set them up. They want to have that push. They want to get this thing done. It's been bugging them for years. They're thinking, oh, my goodness, I must do this. And I think sometimes that the call can be a bit of a, right, I'm going to do this now. I'm going to get this organized. This is a good point for me to do it. So, yeah, I do find that the results are well within that remit of, you're finding that the prospects that we're speaking to, it can be anywhere between, realistically be between sort of 1.5% to 5%. You find want to leave a gift in their will, or have left a gift in their will to the charity. And then it can be anywhere upwards of like 30% then will consider doing it in some way, want more information, don't want more information, want to know about what free will services you might have or how they might be able to do it. But it's about 30%. So you end up with a huge amount of leads coming out of the back of it, for sure.
And I've definitely felt the impact of dealing with those leads, for sure. And I imagine our listener is thinking, what is it that I have to get in place to make a campaign a success? So how much is it about data, and how much is it about other things that they need to be thinking about?
Well, that's quite a big question, I suppose. And there is a lot involved with setting a telephone, telemarketing legacy campaign up. There's no doubt about it. And as we both know, it's very much a two-way street. So it's about the effort we're going to both put into it to make a success of it. And the more effort both sides put in, the better the result, no doubt. But I think the place where most of us want to start, or where I always start, is by looking at the data. We want to look at the data and we want to truly see how many people we could potentially call, because you can spend days and weeks and months looking at scripts and figuring out ideas and concepts and free will services and all that kind of additional work on you and your team, and then you go to check the data and you've got like five people with a telephone number and no consent. So the first place to start is to look at the data, and that would be always my suggestion. And I suppose if you're going to really look at what you've got, well, you need to look at you. That's exactly it. You need to look at what you've got. Who have you got? What's the low hanging fruit? Who could you potentially phone? Who have you got consent to contact? All those kinds of questions. And I think that's, you know, you could do a whole podcast on that piece, but that would be my initial point. Then from there, you're starting to think about, well, realistically, you're thinking about the approach. What approach is going to be right? I would say data first, then you're thinking about what your approach is going to be like. And then you would think, right, okay, who's the agency I want to work with? do the numbers, are the numbers realistic to go to an agency, or should I just run this in-house myself because of the effort that it's going to take? Can I run it in-house myself? And I think, in fact, the IOF have just put out a brilliant kind of a telephone fundraising update, which we're part of, which really breaks down a lot of this information and is a really good place. It's questions that you can ask yourself: how to set up campaigns, where to go to get this kind of information, and how to have those really well, like successful third party relationships. But yeah, it's definitely a, you know, it's definitely, you're going to go on a journey with it if you're going to make a success of it.
There's so many things I want to ask you there and unpick. And one of the things we'll definitely add in the show notes about the in-house that you've mentioned about the Chartered Institute of Fundraising. Really good point about data, because as you've said, you can spend a long time working on the script. What are you going to say? But actually, if you don't have the numbers, whether that's to do a telephone campaign in-house or use an agency like yourself, that's really the most important thing. And Ben, you're actually kind of preempting a future podcast episode where we're going to talk about in-house telemarketing as well. And it would be great to invite you back then to give us your view on that. That'd be absolutely great. And I think one of the things that has been wonderful working with you, and you kind of have talked about this one-way street, but really it's the partnership. And that was certainly evident in the early days when we were working together. The charity that I worked for, there was a lot of hand-holding that we required. And even for some of the clients that I refer on to yourself. And I guess it's a really important point to make is that you're really there to guide charities, especially in the beginning.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, personally, that's what I believe my role is. I work in the charity sector. I work for causes that I care passionately about. This is my life. Like, telephone fundraising is really, really hard work. It's 100%. All jobs are hard. I'm not trying to, get the violin out, but you're literally sprinting all the time to make these campaigns work and make them successful. And this is donors' money that is being spent. So it has to be done properly. We have to get good returns on investment. They have to be successful. The conversations that we have, they can actually, if they're not done properly, they can be really, really damaging. So a telephone call has two sides to it. If it's not done well, it can just destroy everything or the whole relationship in a 5-second call. If it's done properly, it can lead to the most wonderful results. So I think I feel very responsible for that. I think the team feel very responsible for that. And that's a big part of what we have to do. And there is a lot of potholes. There's a lot of things that you need to watch out for that if you're not doing it 24/7, you can easily kind of miss. And it's something to be quite aware of, I think.
That's a really good point about how a conversation can go wrong, because up until this point, we've only talked about how a conversation can go right. So that's really interesting. And how do you manage those complaints if you do get them? And what do you have in place to support that? I think in particular, how can callers actually identify when something might be escalating?
Well, I think it comes back to, you have to have policies in place. That's a critical point. So you've got to have those sort of key level structures so that you have the foundations to the whole system. So those are in place, and then the staff are all trained on them. So they have a clear view of where they're all going. And I think that comes down to good leadership and then good management. And then realistically, it's just making sure that any issues are reported directly back to the organization, for them really to make a call on whether they think it's relevant or not, to then contact that person directly or how they're going to follow it up. And again, it's like this is where the relationship, those are the moments where we would work together. Like, I'm sure we've had those in the past. I actually can't think of any off the top of my head, but where, again, you have to have that relationship. You have to work together to find out, is the person vulnerable? What has this happened? And it does happen a lot. So we quite regularly will have to phone, refer people to Samaritans, or phone social services, phone the police, all these kind of elements. It's about we're contacting real people in real time. They're cooking their tea, they're sorting out their kids, whatever it might be, their life is happening, and we've got to be responsible for that on the phone. So I think a lot of it comes down to that life experience, caller training, and knowing exactly what to do and when to sort of raise the alarm, if you like.
That is right. We have had complaints when we have done calling, but what's really interesting, the complaints have never actually been about the telemarketing call. And as you've just said, we're walking into the supporter space, and often the caller is just the person that's getting the brunt end of something else that the charity might have done. So it might be actually completely unrelated to fundraising. It might be something about service delivery. It might be something they've seen in a newspaper. And that's where I think callers are really great at being able to separate the call from the actual concern that the supporter has.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point. Is 70% of the work for these calls is done by the organisation, by the charity. So we're really just coming off the back of the charity's relationship with that supporter. If they have a good relationship and we phone them, then the conversation is going to go wonderfully. If they don't have a good relationship, or they've had some bad PR, or there's issues, then when we phone that person, the fundraiser is going to take the brunt of whatever they're unhappy about. And I think we can all think about organizations that we have contact with that provide us with services, that when they phone us, we have different ways that we might respond if we were contacted by ones that we liked. So I think it's always important to bear that in mind, that you've got to have the relationship to do this. I think the other thing that's important to remember is that all calls are recorded. So if you have a problem, then we can normally get to the bottom or at least find out what's happened on that call, listen to that call. So it's really highly regulated, in the sense of everything is, every conversation we have with a supporter, everything is historically there. So we have we can listen to it. And I think that is something that's really can be quite powerful and really helpful to make, just to make you feel quite comfortable. Sometimes you get a complaint and it makes no, when you listen to the call, it doesn't really correlate with what the individual has said. And so you can then approach it quite differently. If you didn't listen to that call and maybe you got that complaint, you might respond in a completely different way. So I think that helps too.
It does, massively. And of the supporters that I've spoken to and reassured them that actually the call is recorded and I will listen to the call and get back to them, when I've relayed that conversation that they've had with the caller, they definitely haven't had the same anger or the same grievance with me that they would have had with the caller. Because in my experience, it has never been about the actual caller.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you just have to catch someone at the wrong point in time, don't you? And then they can be upset. But most things it's then again how you go on to respond to that and how you then deal with it. And I think actually you can come away from it, and a supporter can come away from it all the better by the way you respond to that complaint.
Definitely. And are there any types of campaigns that you'd like to see charities running that haven't been done? Or are there some that really stand out for you that you feel actually they're very successful?
I think, I mean, focusing on legacy, it's such a key area of interest to me, especially. I find legacy telemarketing fascinating. And the whole space is really developing and changing. I've actually shot a video last week, which I'll pass on to you as well. Maybe you can put it in the show notes, just around kind of all of the things that are happening in that space. Because I feel like there's so much has happened since COVID around the way telephone fundraising as a whole is approached. But especially with legacy, it's really becoming quite a creative area to work in. And we're just kind of learning all the time. So my view on it is, definitely sort of dip your toe in the water, start to start to review and explore what you might be able to do, because you might be quite surprised at just how many leads you can generate, how many people you can find out have left a gift in their will to you, and then you can make sure that that gift stays in the will for you as well. So there's that whole other elements that's coming into it now, whereas I think before we were quite nervous about who we were going to phone and should, oh, they've left a gift in their will, should we phone them? They might get upset with a call. Now it's really opening up, and I like those retention calling, that just kind of phoning and thanking just throughout the whole sector is becoming so much more prevalent and kind of seen as best practice, which I think is just brilliant. I really do. It's maybe seen as more of an old school method telephone, but it's just not. And I think as we now move into way more where we're using lots of different mediums to contact people and joining those together, like a multi-channeled approach, you can really see how effective it is. And when you sign up to a charity, you don't generally get that much contact from them. So just to have a call with them can be really nice, can be a really nice touch. And I think it should be something that should always be remembered, just how powerful that contact can be.
Again, Ben, you've said so many things that would be great to unpick, but I haven't promised the listener that all the episodes will be under 30 minutes. So we are going to have to say goodbye now. But Ben, is there anything that you wanted to share with the listener? Maybe if they're thinking about starting a legacy campaign, one piece of advice?
Yeah, I think, like I said, the main thing I would say is start with your data, look at your data and figure out who you've got to call, and then just go on that journey, explore what you might potentially be able to do. There, I'll definitely provide some information for you, Sunita, so you can put that in the show notes, and that could even help people start on their journey to understanding this kind of ever-expanding area, and just get involved, you know, just make a start. If you pick the right partner, and there's plenty of good partners out there now, then you can't go wrong.
And that's great, Ben. And you can certainly come on a future episode, especially if you're going to put the show notes together for me as well. That's even better.
Yeah, no worries.
Ben, it was lovely to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, thanks, Lisa. That was great. Really good fun.
So that's all for this episode. The takeaways are... Is telemarketing, calling your supporters, something that's right for you? Do you have good quality data? As Ben mentioned, he has provided me with all the info to help you, and all that information is available in the show notes. Do connect with Ben if you'd like to find out more, and subscribe to his newsletter. Thank you so much for listening to Legacy Fundraising Chat, brought to you by Persuasion, a consultancy training and coaching organisation helping fundraisers just like you. Thank you also for everything that you do for your cause and the charity sector, making it an inspiring place to work. I'm your host, Sunita Gudu, championing your legacy fundraising efforts.